Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our Newsworthy Clips article, and I have in the studio with me Hazel.
Welcome. Hi, everybody.
And Zach.
Hey, guys.
And it's good to be here with you today. We are so glad that you are tuning in. We're talking about ransomware, 5 ways to protect yourself against ransomware cyber attacks. Are you scared, Hazel?
Well, that's pretty scary. Actually, they're attacking my computer, and that's pretty scary, too.
It is. What is ransomware, though, Zach?
So ransomware is a threatening malware on your computer where they're going to try and lock your computer and even hold it hostage and maybe request money.
That's right. So they want you to pay something to unlock your computer, which is crazy. And I've never had that happen, thank God. But I have had, malware. I bought a computer, and not long after I bought it, there's something popped up for an update, and it looked legitimate.
Mm.
And so I said, okay, I need to update that. But then it downloaded all of this junk onto my computer. Thank God it did not lock my computer. No one was asking me for money. But has that ever happened to you, Hazel?
I've come close to that. There's been a few links that I get, and it's like, oh, what's this? And you're just ready to click and think, wait, I better not click on this because I don't know who it's from.
Okay.
So you need to be very careful.
Right.
And I think the office from time to time has had a virus go around on the computer system. So somebody's clicking.
Right. Okay. Zach, has that happened to you?
Well, fortunately, I've had pretty limited experience with malware. But, yeah, I've gotten sent, obviously the typical emails. Mm-hmm. And often you're not sure. Is it legit? Is it real? Do I need this? Or is this malware?
Right.
And
right.
So, yeah.
I think sometimes the malware spreads by mailing things from people's computer that have been affected. So you say, oh, this is from a person I trust.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, they didn't send it. Their computer did because of a virus.
Yeah.
So even when you get something from someone you know, it may not be them actually sending it.
And so they're getting more sophisticated. So you learn kind of how things are working. You're like, okay, I know not to accept this or that. But then, they get more sophisticated with, how they kind of attack your computers and so forth. And so you have to keep up to date.
Right.
Stay up to date, right? And so this article, we're going through really 5 different things. There are 5 different tips here that we're going to talk about. We are on page 22. And so if you have your magazines, you can open to that page, or if you have your digital device, you can follow along there. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
Five ways to protect yourself against ransomware cyber attacks. The threat of ransomware, where a crook locks your computer or encrypts your files and demands payment to release them, received a lot of attention after the global WannaCry attack. So what can you do to protect yourself? Here are 5 relatively simple things that even those who aren't computer savvy can do. 1. Be smart. Don't click on links or attachments in emails sent by strangers. Most phishing emails that impersonate banks, technology companies, and others have clues that they are scams. Watch for poor grammar and spelling, and the use of general email addresses such as Hotmail or Gmail. A bank wouldn't email you using Gmail. Set your spam filters to the strongest setting. You can always check your junk folder for anything legitimate that was blocked. Look at names and email addresses closely, watching for PayPal instead of PayPal, for example. Hover your cursor over a link to make sure the URL matches the hyperlink. Be cautious with links on social media.
Okay, so we get an explanation here of ransomware. And what does it say there, Hazel?
Well, it's where a crook locks your computer or encrypts your files. When you encrypt something, it changes the code or it changes the way you read it digitally, so you can't You can't see what it says.
And sometimes we want things to be encrypted, right, to keep it private.
Right.
Okay. But here, of course, we don't want things on our own computer to be private, you know, for someone to send a file or whatever, and if that's encrypted. And anyway, so these crooks are doing this, and a crook is, of course, someone who is stealing something, a criminal, another way to say that. So the crooks are locking the computers, or they're encrypting your files, and so, again, you can't get into them.
And then they want payment to release them. So the word ransom, I think of someone being kidnapped or taken against their will, and perhaps the crooks that kidnap them will send a note to the family or friends saying, if you want this person back, you need to send money. So that's kind of what a ransom is. So this is ransom on the computer, ransomware.
Right. And this received a lot of attention after the global WannaCry attack. And that this occurred, back earlier, I believe in 2017, earlier this year, and affected more than 230,000 computers. And they were demanding a ransom to unlock the victim's files. And they actually, they wanted to receive Bitcoin. And they demanded these payments in 28 languages.
Wow.
So this was a very sophisticated attack.
Yeah, would that make you want to cry?
Very good, Hazel.
Well, I think that's why it's a very clever name, too, WannaCry. You would want to cry if you couldn't get your files on your computer, because they're very important to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe, of course, you should keep everything backed up, which we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do to protect yourself? We're going to talk about five relatively simple things. And it talks about being computer savvy. Mm-hmm. If you're computer savvy, what are you?
Yeah, just to be savvy is to be familiar and to be comfortable and to just know the ins and outs of using a computer. And so you want to stay up to date on how to best protect yourself in this situation.
So they're going to give us some tips for people who aren't necessarily computer savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't know a lot about computers or and how they work. You just kind of do simple tasks on them. Well, these are things that you can still follow, which is good news for me because I don't consider myself to be especially computer savvy.
No, me either. So it's good to have some tips that we can understand and hopefully do.
Right. It kind of sounds like, hearing about a situation like the WannaCry attack can kind of feel intimidating and you can feel like, oh, I don't want to use my computer. But it seems like you can actually fight against this and just protect yourself with these five practical tips.
Mm-hmm. And what is the first tip, Hazel?
Be smart. Well, that's a smart tip, isn't it?
That's always a good tip.
So think about what you're doing. Be alert. Be ready in case you see something that looks suspicious.
And the first thing it says there, don't click on links or attachments in emails sent by strangers. Mm-hmm. And, I think this, a lot of people maybe know this already, but sometimes you can forget. You know, maybe 95% of the time you catch it, but one time you don't, and that's the danger in it, right?
And it's getting, like you said before, people are getting more computer savvy, even the crooks. And so it's more and more tricky. They trick you in ways that you don't suspect.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, this happened with me on my computer. It wasn't ransomware, but malware. I got a message about updating Adobe, which is a program a lot of people use, and it looked legitimate to me, but apparently it wasn't. It downloaded stuff onto my computer. And so things are getting more sophisticated. Also, I remember back in my hometown in the United States, the school system, a lady that worked there, received an email asking for personal information from the employees, about the employees, and it was from the superintendent of the school, supposedly.
Oh, wow.
So she believed it, and then that caused a big, problem for people. And so, we have to be really careful, especially in situations like that.
So these were kind of phishing emails?
Yes, and what are those?
So a phishing email, it sounds like it's when an email is sent, and it's kind of it's an online scam, and they say they're one thing, but really they're something else.
Right, maybe they pretend they're from a bank. They say here impersonating a bank.
Yeah, I think the word phishing is interesting. You know, when you go fishing to catch fish, it's usually spelt with an F-I-S-H, fish.
Yes.
But with a P-H, it means kind of the same idea. When fishermen used to spread out their nets, just even if they didn't know where the fish were, just to see which ones were around and which ones could be tricked into swimming into the net. So it's kind of like a computer people. It's like they're going to send out all these emails, and they're going to send out so many that certainly a few fish will swim into those nets and be tricked.
Very good explanation. Yeah, if you send out enough, maybe a few will fall for it, right? And then they're impersonating banks. If you impersonate someone, you're trying to, you're deceiving someone by pretending that you're another person or another entity, an organization or a company. And then we talk about technology companies and others. You know, they have clues that they are scams. And so, these phishing emails, they're impersonating all of these sorts of things.
Right, right. And so you want to be careful. Right, it says be smart. Don't click on links because you might think, oh, I know this bank or I know this technology company or whatever the case may be, but actually it's a scam. It's a trick and they're trying to catch you and trying to take over your computer.
So if you get an email like that, it's best to go to the website directly that the bank has or that the organization has, or even call them, but don't use the number that's in the email. Just call them directly and ask.
Right. Yeah, when it comes to money, of course, you have to be very careful. If you receive an email about sending money, that's the first thing you should, that red flag should, be raised there.
And often what I'll do is if I see an email, you can even just type in that subject line into Google and just see, oh, this is kind of a popular scam right now that others have been affected by.
That's
and just
good,
make sure.
Good point.
And we should also watch for poor grammar and spelling because if it's from a company, hopefully their grammar will be correct. They won't misspell words. And so that's something to watch out for. And also the use of general email addresses such as Hotmail or Gmail. So just look out for those kinds of things. I guess if it's from a company, maybe they won't use like Gmail or Hotmail. They'll have their own email service.
Right. It's important to know kind of the businesses that you work with, their protocol. And if protocol says, well, we'll email you from, this is our email that we always use, and all of a sudden you get an email from your bank that's from Gmail or Hotmail, okay, you can probably, it's a safe bet to say, this might be a scam.
Right. And we also need to talk about spam filters. What is a spam filter?
Well, it's something on your computer that filters out maybe email addresses that are scams or people that you don't know. Advertisements, that's right. And so it tries to eliminate those. And then sometimes you need to check that box to see if there's anything important.
Very good point there, Hazel. And we have this word, legitimate.
Yeah, legitimate means, is it real? Is it actually true?
It's the email that you wanted to receive in your normal folder, not your junk folder. And so sometimes you want to look in your junk folder to see if there's something important there.
Right.
Okay, and then at the top of the next column, it says, look at names and email addresses closely. Okay, this one's kind of interesting. Because they give this example from PayPal. It says, watching for PayPal, there's a space in between pay and pal instead of PayPal because their logo, they put everything together. There's no space. And so if it's maybe from something that's not legitimate, or someone who's trying to trick you, maybe they will change it up a little bit, but you wouldn't maybe notice that if you're not paying careful attention.
Right. I've actually had personal experience with the PayPal, and not to pick on PayPal, but I had gotten this email, and it looked legitimate. It looked like this was from PayPal, but they were asking for personal information and information that it just didn't, they were kind of asking for bank information and things like that. And so I just thought something was up, and sure enough, it was spam.
Okay. Well, you were smart. You didn't fall for that trap, that
Don't
trick.
don't ever send your bank information over email, I think. Mm-hmm. It's better to call the bank and make sure, because when you send your personal account numbers or your social security number, they should have that information already.
Right, and I don't think they would be asking you for that.
And sometimes they want your personal number. A scam will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The bank has that information,
right.
So don't give it away.
Good point. Something else you can do is hover your cursor over a link to make sure the URL matches the hyperlink. And of course, the URL is the digital address of a web page. So make sure everything matches up. And instead of, you know, if it's different, then maybe something is up. So be cautious with links on social media as well. Of course, be careful on social media when you're scrolling through Facebook. You know that everything there may not be legitimate. Everybody in the world, basically, can post something. And so you really have to, be diligent, be careful with anything on social media.
Mm. Right. And, you know, a few years ago, it was reported that identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America. And I think now with everything going digital, it's even more likely that you would find someone trying to steal identity and just to kind of impersonate someone in order to gain access to your computer.
Okay. Well, tip number one is be smart. We have four other tips right now. Let's find out what tip two and three are.
Two, use virus malware protection software. You can buy software or download it, in some cases for free. Set your software to update automatically, so you are protected from new threats as they are identified. Three, update your computer's operating system. Technology companies often send patches to fix known glitches or weak spots that hackers can exploit. Set your system to update automatically.
Okay, so tip number two, use virus or malware protection software. Zach, what exactly is malware?
Right. This is the kind of software that you don't want on your computer because it's designed to damage your computer.
That's right. It might corrupt it. This is what happened to my computer. My computer is still working and everything, but it just adds junk that you don't want.
So you want malware protection software. But you need to buy that and download it. And maybe if you're not computer savvy,
that's true.
Difficult task.
And which is the best one?
Yeah, so maybe you need to find a friend that knows computers that can
Sounds
help.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, that would be my tip or my suggestion is find that computer person in your circle of friends and just ask and find out what's, you know, the current and up-to-date protection software.
And is it worth paying for one? Or there are free ones out there. Are they sufficient? So ask someone who is tech-savvy and they can give you some tips. Okay, and next it says set your software to update automatically so you are protected from new threats. Now, this is an interesting one. Someone mentioned this recently, and I didn't think of that, you know, when you update everything, it helps to protect you from threats. When I think of updates, sometimes I'm like, maybe I don't want to update because it will make my phone slower. I guess because I think the more advanced the apps get and your phone is older, it's harder for it to process all of that. But this is a good reason. This kind of overrules all of that, overrides that, and it's a good reason to update because hopefully it will protect from any threats. Okay, so that's tip number two. What is three, Zach?
So number three is update your computer's operating system. So go into your settings and look up where you can find the automatically updated, click those automatic updates, and it'll just do it for you.
That's right. And
you can stay up to date.
Mm-hmm. And they often send out these patches, or I think of this as maybe bug fixes. You know, maybe you have an app and you need to update it, and maybe it has a bug fix in that update, which will hopefully help the app operate better.
And a bug is like a glitch. There's a word you see there, glitches or weak spots. Mm-hmm. Also a patch. Maybe you have an old tire with a tube inside and you put a patch on it that seals it so that the air can't get out. So it's just when I think of a weak spot in your computer, might need a patch.
Right, because if it's not patched, maybe the hackers can get in to your system more easily. They can exploit it.
Mm-hmm. And this is just a really practical tip because, like it says, it's going to update automatically. It's not something that you have to always go back and do again and do it again. So it's really practical.
All right, so set your system to update automatically so you don't even have to go do anything. It just will do it automatically, and that makes everything go much more smoothly, and it's easier for you. Okay, so tip number one, what was it, Hazel?
Be smart. Don't click on those links.
That's right. And two?
Use virus or malware protection software. Either download it or, in some cases, buy it.
Okay, and three, we just talked about, update your computer's operating system, and you can even do that automatically. Now we have tips four and five. Let's have our last reading for today.
Four. Back up your system and data. Copy photos and important documents to an external hard drive, jump drive, or CD/DVD. Also, you can upload them to an external cloud storage network where you can retrieve them from any computer or wireless device. You can back up your entire computer as well and set restore points from which you can later restore your PC. 5. Train your employees, family members. Businesses often are targeted with emails sent directly to employees in key positions who hold financial and personnel data. Teach them to identify scam emails. If there's one family member responsible for keeping your home computer secure, they should teach other users how to spot scams too.
All right, tip number four, we need to back up our systems and the data. This is very important. What are some things we can do? What are some of the things we can back up?
Well, you need to back up your photos and your important documents, and that's easy to forget, or should I say it's easy to put off. It's like, yeah, I'll do it next week. I'll do it later. But if your computer crashes, you're going to be in big trouble.
That's a good reminder. Right now I'm thinking, I need to do that.
I do too.
It's good to back everything up that's important. And you can even have an external hard drive. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the hard drive is built into your computer, but you can have another one that you can hook up to the computer and save things on that. That may make it easier, and it's larger than just a jump drive or USB. So that's something to think about. Or you can use a CD or DVD, and also you can do something else.
Right. You can also upload them directly to the external cloud storage network. So you're talking about kind of the iCloud system and uploading important documents, and you can always kind of retrieve it later.
Yeah.
And often people will use the iCloud or just the cloud storage to share documents between different computers.
Do you trust the cloud? There's something about the cloud that makes me a little nervous. I mean, I love it. It makes things so much easier, but maybe I'm being a little paranoid. Can we trust the cloud?
I was just thinking when you read that, it's like, is the cloud always going to be there? What if there's a storm? Presses on the link? Clouds come and go.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Brandon and Hazel. I have my doubts sometimes about whether or not, these are my important documents. These are precious photos, and I want them to be there when I want them.
So maybe you can have a backup.
And you
cloud.
Also want them to be safe from people that steal them or get them. But anyway, it seems that it's pretty safe. At least a lot of people think it is and trust it and use it. And it is very convenient. So let's hope so.
It is very, very convenient.
Well, and I think with the external hard drives, people are saying, well, it's too expensive. But, you know, I think it could be worth the costs if it's going to keep those precious documents safe and retrievable.
And the cost of external drives is getting lower and lower. Mm. The memory is a lot more and the price is a lot less.
All right. Well, you can also back up your entire computer, and set restore points from which you can later restore your PC. And so that's another option. Number five, train your employees and family members. You know, earlier I was talking about the employee in my hometown who, you know, fell for a scam. Well, the employees, I'm sure, since then have been further trained. And so that's really important. Businesses often are targeted with emails sent directly to employees in key positions. And they may hold financial and personnel data, which is a very serious issue. And so people have to be aware of what's going on. What should they be taught?
Right. Well, I think for one thing, some of these practical points that we're learning now, right? Be smart. Don't click suspicious emails. You know, it's one thing to protect your own personal computer, but it's a whole nother thing when you're talking about businesses that have really important financial mm-hmm. documents and just sensitive information that people could be after.
So they have to know how to identify these mm-hmm. scam emails. They can use these tips that we've already talked about, but we can also teach family members as well.
That's right. Sometimes families share a computer, so children and adults, grandparents alike, need to know what to look for as far as scams are concerned.
Okay. Well, those are five tips. We hope that you have found these to be very useful. And we hope that you will join us again tomorrow for day two of our Newsworthy Clips article. In the meantime, check out our Topic Talks videos. You can scan the QR code right there at the top of page 22, or you can go onto our website, studioclassroom.com, and you can view them there. Until tomorrow, this is Brandon,
Hazel,
and Zach
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.